Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the podcast that features less plastic surgery than Bravo, maybe the same amount of entertainment, definitely less drama, but the same amount of, hopefully, woman bonding. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we are so glad to talk to you today about womanhood and parenthood in a fresh, non-judgmental way.
Yeah, so Caroline, what's going on? What's the news?
Well, let's see. This week, I was just looking at my sources for very hard news, like Us Weekly,
and yep, saw, checks photo, out.
Saw photos from the filming of the Victoria's Secret annual runway show. And it got me thinking, in this culture of Me Too and sexual exploitation of women, I thought it was interesting and couldn't decide how I felt about it that they were filming it in all of its angel-winged glory again this year. And kind of wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, that's a very good thing to bring up. I still, you know, I really don't know how I feel about the Victoria's Secret fashion show, you know, or Victoria's Secret modeling in general. Branding. I guess I feel very conflicted because I'm all about women's empowerment and living your best life. And I am definitely not about the sexualization of women's bodies. So, you know, half of me is, you know, live your best life. But I also get, I remember feeling when I was pregnant with Milan, a very jealous feeling during, because I was pregnant over Christmas or there was, I can't remember. It was when they air the show.
Yeah, which is in, around the holidays
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Or maybe it was even the commercial. It just made me uncomfortable. And that I, you know, that's my own personal thing. I guess my main criticism would be there's just almost zero body type diversity. I think they're getting better at diverse people groups, but everyone looks exactly the same.
Yeah, so. But, you know, also preaches the, but look, we're eating hamburgers. Like one yeah. of the pictures that I saw was a boyfriend of the model on the red carpet with a bag from Shake Shack.
Well, and the funny thing was there's it was Cody
Zach Sprouse.
And Cody. Yeah, yeah.
They were saying. From the sweet life of Zach and Cody. Never yeah. forget.
Exactly. And they were saying boyfriend of the year. And someone in the comments was saying that's baseline.
Yeah, I know. I felt that way, too. And, you know, I think it's interesting. I have flipped a lot. So in college, I felt like I wanted to be this cool girlfriend that was like totally OK with these
yes.
things. And
yep.
so I would like get my boyfriend the swimsuit issue every year to be like, look how cool
yeah,
I am.
Look how cool I am. That girl's pretty. I'm not jealous.
Yeah. And yeah. look how great. And like, I love looking at that. And
yeah.
I would turn on the show and like be super into it. But some things transpired. I'm sure we'll get into in a later episode with my parents' marriage and some choices that my dad made that really made me kind of change how I saw basically myself in trying to accept the sexualization of women. Of
interesting.
Is this normal? Is this okay? And then I think having three daughters has really made me change my tune on it. Of was I ever really okay with that? Did I
right.
feel like I had to be? Is that like normal that to be the cool girlfriend, I had to be okay with encouraging my boyfriend to look at other women. But I think it's interesting that you brought up empowerment because I think that one school of thought is, look at these women feeling so empowered to show off their bodies.
Right.
The other school of thought is, but for the normal woman, and I use normal like very loosely, is that at all empowering?
I believe size 12 to 14 is average, right? And
yeah,
they're,
that
of course,
is right.
all size two, I would assume. That's a
I would
total
assume.
Guess, maybe.
Yeah, like these fit models are probably even smaller than that.
Right.
So I don't know. I just think it's an interesting time that they're doing that in the middle of this, social storm. So I don't really know where I land on it, but it raised my antennas a little bit to see kind of what the overall feel for that show is.
I totally agree. I think what I have landed on more so than figuring out exactly how I feel about Victoria's Secret modeling is the double standard of people being okay and even pushing the advertisement of Victoria's Secret and underwear ads in general, and it's totally fine. But then there's a whole conversation around should women breastfeed in public?
Ah, good
and
point.
And that completely, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, please say something to me.
Yeah, like bring it on.
Yeah, because it is a total double standard. So I think, I don't know, I can't figure, I don't want to say, that's totally, it's not a direction I would have chosen to take my life. were that even an option?
Yeah.
I can't say that because I've never.
Well, I will say I went to an open casting call for America's Next Top Model 1 year.
You have no fear.
No. Well, I didn't go. I always have to like give this disclaimer. I did not go because I felt like they would cast me. Like whenever I tell the story, I'm like, just so you know I'm not a model. But like if one of my girls went, I would be like, yeah, you are. You can get on that show.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was the day that Bernie Mac died. So I'm never going to forget. Like,
what is America's Next Top Model? Celebrity deaths.
I know. Sorry. I didn't have a dream about it before.
You do something strange and then a celebrity dies.
Yeah. So. Watch out. Watch out, Zach Sprouse.
I think it was Dylan or Cole. I don't think it's... Life of Zach and Cody.
Gosh, that's right. I forgot you have real names. You are not your character. You're a real person. Anyway, I went with a friend and we waited for hours. And I got super hungry and was like texting my sister from the line to bring me Chick-fil-A. And she kept saying like, if you want to be a model, you're going to have to deal with this. I will not bring you food. And yeah. I left. I got too hungry. I will not refuse. This is not my truth. So I left. But I think about that every time I see these women strutting down, like, you did not eat Chick-fil-A today.
Right. I even thought in that ad as well, because I did read something about maybe 2 years ago, and I can't remember which supermodel it was. Miranda Kerr, maybe. I want to say it was like pre the models who I don't know their name because I'm not right. Cool enough anymore.
Right.
But she was talking about the prep that she does to do the Victoria's Secret show. And it was very much like, you know, water
Ruth
and like
Bader
spinach.
Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Workout routine.
Exactly. But she didn't have anything. When I saw the BuzzFeed thing about Shake Shack, my like main question is, but did she eat it? Because the way that any physical human body reacts to Shake Shack is not real conducive to hitting the runway in a couple minutes.
Well,
so
I encourage you, if you haven't, to listen to, this is my second time talking about the Goop podcast. I talked about it our last episode, and I honestly don't really listen to it that much. However, the episodes that I listen to are always very good. I kind of pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
But the episode in which Gwyneth Paltrow interviews Chrissy Teigen is fantastic because
that sounds amazing already.
Yeah, well, if you don't follow Chrissy Teigen, you are missing out in your life. She is very, very open and honest, especially in this interview, about being runway ready. Because admittedly, mm-hmm. after her second child that she just had, she hasn't lost the weight super quickly. And I really appreciate her talking about it and talking about like these actresses and models that say like, I don't know, I eat just like you. I eat all of this pizza. I eat all of this candy and look at me.
Right.
And that is very clearly not the truth. You know,
yeah,
it just does not happen.
I will listen to that. That sounds very... I love her for normalizing things. And again, normalizing breastfeeding and normalizing the weird underwear that you have at the hospital when you give birth. Like, she just normalizes all of it.
Weird, talk about heaven sent. I would wear that underwear every day of my life. Actually, I wish that they sold that at...
I'm sure you could just stand at the hospital and run into the rooms before they clean them out.
Well, that seems
leaving.
Like it sounded like a good idea at the time. And as yeah. I'm arrested for trying to steal mesh postpartum underwear, which would be the thing.
This will swiftly become a one-person podcast. I'll go ahead and pre-interview other potential hosts.
You can follow us on Instagram to see my mugshot for that incredible crime. Well, it's funny to even talk about that because I do think that it leads super well into today's topic, which is social media. You know, Chrissy Teigen is a social media phenom.
Yes.
Even the Victoria's Secret fashion show is becoming such a celebrity event, I think, because of people following these supermodels on Instagram and Twitter and really feeling like we have a look into their real life.
It does seem that the people who are more popular now, this, I guess, younger generation, because I did see mm-hmm. in that same BuzzFeed article, Adriana Lima is retiring after 20 years. And she looks my age, so.
Yeah, she probably
younger.
Is. I mean, I'm sure that she is. These girls
are
starting.
No, I think she's like 39 or 30, no, 37. She's 37.
Okay, well, if I look like her at 37.
If I looked like her right now.
32, like yeah. she looks then. But yeah, I mean, these models are starting as babies. And
right. And
it's
then
crazy.
The new ones are, seems to me, I don't have any. But it's like people who are like pre-popular on social media and stuff like that. Like they're already, I think some of them began modeling. But I know that Kendall Jenner obviously started out more of a, as like, oh, she'll grab attention. I don't know if that was the original.
Well, the Hadid sisters, Gigi and Bella, are that way as well.
Well, I think one of them started out modeling. I think Bella
Gigi.
Was a, oh, maybe both of them. Maybe they did model or.
I think they did, but I definitely think that Yolanda being on The Real Housewives definitely picked up the interest in them.
Yeah.
I would say. And then Lisa Rinna, who is now on Real Housewives, her daughters are trying to break into modeling. But I think that is definitely kind of riding her pop culture
it's tough.
Coattails.
There's a lot of nepotism in both entertainment and the government. One of those is more okay, I feel like.
Definitely the government.
My vote also. Yeah, I don't know. That's maybe another discussion, because if I were really successful, I would want my children to be able to be the best. I wouldn't not hook them up. But, you know, then for us, we're like, oh, well, she's not even, I don't know, you know, oh, she's not, she's just got her mom to do it for her.
So when Maya and Anna Blair start their podcast that gets more successful than ours, we will say it's because we paved the way for them.
First of all, if they get more successful than us, we're shutting them down, obviously.
Obviously.
It's not going to stand.
Don't worry, I've got things already to plant against them.
Oh, yeah, cool. Glad we've planned ahead.
Yep. Blackmail your children. Number one parenting tip. If
that's
what you tuned in for.
That is a good idea.
Well, as we take a break, this is an excellent segue into us talking about social media today. And not just celebrities, I'm sure we'll mention it, but as a parent and as a woman, how you use social media. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
So, Caroline, I did something kind of radical, I feel like.
Ooh. I am titillated.
I deactivated my Facebook account recently.
What?
I know.
I feel like that's everybody's dream, but
I know.
No one actually does it. So tell me why.
Well, good and bad. Here's the thing. I deactivated my Facebook because I actually spent the whole summer and, well, I guess since June or so, I was just not getting on it. And before that, I was getting on it maybe once a week. I took the app off my phone because I found that I would just spend a lot of time casually scrolling.
Yep.
And I didn't need to be scrolling, and people post a lot of things that kind of frustrate me, either because I feel like they're out, you know, just stuff that goes around. It's stuff that I feel like is not true, or I'm
fake
just
news.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Or I don't know. I just got tired of it. And so I just deactivated it finally recently. Also, Facebook as a company drives me crazy because they do not care about your privacy. They're also very tone deaf in that they have all these privacy scandals. And then I recently read that they're trying to put out a product that something like Alexa type of product.
Oh, I'm not at all surprised. Is it called The Mark?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you people have got to be kidding me. You can't get your lives in order to protect anyone's privacy. And now you want to put your own type of Alexa device. So I deactivated my account and I left them a couple scathing messages, which I hope hurt.
I will speak to your manager.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, I still have my Instagram,
which is owned by Facebook.
Right. And I didn't deactivate Facebook messages because that's the only way my father-in-law talks to me.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
And anyway, so I don't know. I want them to feel the burn of me leaving.
Of you.
But
uh-oh,
also,
we lost our Primaratna.
Red alert. Get them back. But I also needed a queen size bed frame, and my sister-in-law found me one on Facebook, and I needed a Halloween costume, and our neighbor found me one on Facebook.
That's true.
So that's annoying. I mean, so I still look, I mean, I feel annoying being like, can you message that person and tell them I'll meet them?
Well, that's how I feel about Amazon Prime, because I don't have it. And I'm like, who wants to Prime me something?
You are the only one.
I am. But I have no scathing messages to leave. And I'm really not that inclined to get one because everyone else has one. So I get to use it.
Exactly.
But so you are active on Instagram, and are you on Twitter?
A little bit. I am a little bit active on Instagram as a lurker.
you are. That is true. I get likes from you, but then I look and you haven't posted in a while.
Yeah, exactly. I used to be active on Twitter when I was food blogging, and now I'm thinking, as I'm writing more, I should really get back onto Twitter, and I think that 2 to 5 times a day, and I still haven't done it. So I don't know.
Do you read blogs?
Rarely.
Okay, so I am fully sold out to social media in a lot of ways, and I love it and I hate it. So my job is to to post on social media for, I have seven right. active clients right now. So I am on.
Not deactivating anytime soon.
Gosh, no, I am way more active than I actually think that I want to be. But I also really like to be connected. I don't even have a love-hate relationship with social media. I have a love-annoyed relationship with it. I love it because I think, enjoy the faux connectivity of things. Because, as we talked about in an earlier episode, as a fully functioning introvert, I like connecting with people that way without actually having to expend more energy than I really want to see people. Like, probably the case study for why social media is hurting relationships, because I feel like I have all of these relationships
I have
with people.
1,000 best friends.
I do. And I like it. And I'm accepting applications for more.
Yeah.
The other reason that I ultra am into social media right now is, and it brings up a point because I think this is a very polarizing topic, but I post pictures of my kids all the time. And my
That is interesting.
My personal accounts are fully dedicated to pictures of my children. And I never talk about work or anything else except my kids. My mom kept all of these incredible baby books when we were growing up. They weren't like, oh, Caroline is 18 pounds. It wasn't like that. She kept those too, but it was like these journals of things that we did, and we love looking at them, but I'm horrible at taking pen to paper. And so I feel like my social media accounts are kind of my baby books for my kids.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. When Milan was born, I was definitely more picky, and I don't even really know why. I guess I've always been a little concerned about privacy, specifically with Facebook, just because their privacy terms, like I said, are atrocious.
I was just reading today, somebody posted in a mom group, can anyone actually hear me through my phone? It was the same kind of classic, like I talked about a product, I never looked it up, and then the product was in ads.
That happens so much.
Yeah, well, somebody posted in there that there's somebody that they know works for Facebook. And if you look in the terms of agreement, you give Facebook access to your phone's microphone.
Ooh.
And
well, you do when you click you have to record a video or something.
So Facebook won't openly say that they're listening, but they do say that they have access to your microphone, which to me means that your mic is kind of always open.
Yeah, right.
That. I don't know. So if you haven't closed out the app, they are listening.
So I wondered, that not close out, meaning you hit a home button and go back, if you do like a hard stop. Hard quit. Thank you.
Yeah, hard quit.
Know what I'm talking about.
But, on one hand, I don't really care. But I do know that people care a whole lot.
Do you care that they're profiting off of you?
No.
That would be, I think, my first thing, is that they're selling information that they're getting for free. It's like Goodwill.
Yeah. Yes. It does not bother me at all because I don't really think about it, and because it doesn't cost me more for them to benefit off of me. Like, I don't feel like I'm losing out on money that I would make.
Right.
I mean, I guess if they paid me, maybe that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But I'm not bothered by that. But clearly you are bothered by it.
I'm bothered by what bothered me was that they can take the pictures and use them. I think that happened a couple times where someone, they used a picture for one of their ads, some picture they had just pulled from an account, a random account. And then I think the story that I saw was something tragic had actually happened to that child, and they took it from
something
like
awful.
That was a mistake. But the point is that they can do that, I believe, legally.
Yep. Cause you give them access.
That bothered me. And Pasan and I decided to be a little more private with Milan and Maya until they're older.
Like to give consent?
To give consent. But I have seen this handled a couple different ways, which I think was interesting. Mama's Gone City, you know this Instagram account?
Yeah, I've followed it.
She has talked about, because she has 5 kids, I believe.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's talked about how the kids, as they get older, basically are like in on the business. Like
right.
They have say, and if they are participating in the NAD campaign, for instance, they are getting money from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. It's not like, well, whoever,
the parents aren't
Walmart
profiting
is paying
off of.
Right. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And her kids are old, the two or three of them are old enough to understand more about social media and like putting putting themselves out there. Anyway, everyone's got a different outlook on it. We just tend to keep them more private until they decide.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I have one of my good friends does not post pictures of her kids at all and does not like other people posting pictures of her kids on social media. So if I take pictures of our kids together, she would prefer me not post them.
Yeah, I have so seen and heard of people private. Like that.
It is interesting because she and I take such different approaches where I have boundaries, but not many. I guess like there are things that I won't post, but hers is definitely motivated by pedophiles, really.
Sure,
creeps
yeah.
that are on
that
social
is,
media.
That is what I hear from the people who are really strict about it, is they don't want people taking their kids' pictures. I don't want people profiting off of my kids. I guess that's where what I take from it. What are your limits? Like, what will you not post?
My limits are more based on how the girls are dressed, not in terms of my image, but they're, as they get older, I become much more aware of posting pictures of them just in their diaper or
undies, things, something like that.
Yeah, the bath pictures. Mm-hmm. Those are really where I draw the line. And even that is fairly recent. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't post pictures of their very private areas, but I have had to not convince myself, but get away from the naivety that it couldn't happen to us.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
I tend to feel like, I know the majority of my followers. If I like went down the list, it's probably not quite as many as I think that I know. Mm-hmm. I am very trusting about that space. And part of me kind of feels like creeps are going to find ways regardless.
Yeah.
And maybe, again, that could be very naive. There has been in Charlotte two different things that have popped up on mom groups in the last couple weeks about moms being at the mall with their kids and men taking pictures of their kids out in public.
I think I saw one of those. Yeah. You sent me one of these last week.
The blog post that I sent you was from a family that goes to our church, actually. So, of course, that hit home because we know them and things always
really
hit
close
home
to home.
More.
Yeah.
And then somebody else posted today that they were in line to see Santa, but there was a man taking pictures of her kids and her husband demanded to take his phone. And there was the phone was just like full of porn and pictures of kids.
What?
But the mall has said it's not a crime.
What?
Because you're out in public. Yeah, it's a public space.
You can take pictures of a minor. You can't take pictures of a minor.
I don't know. Again, it sounded like the mall didn't really want to mess with it.
Yeah.
And they couldn't say that there was anything criminal happening about it.
Yeah. Ugh. That stinks. There's been some, and that was the whole issue with the other blog post as well, was like the mall didn't really want to take the side of the mom.
Right?
Like, the security guard was like, he's just being here, you know, classic. Well, he's just in here. He's just being a man.
It does kind of fall into the line of where my thinking is with social media. And I absolutely think these men were wrong and planning some type of criminal act in some way. However, it's, I guess, a little bit like Minority Report, that can you assume on behalf of someone else that a crime was going to be committed?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. A slippery slope. You can't just attack everyone.
Well, and so that's how I feel about social media. I cannot assume, and maybe I should, but I do not assume that pictures that I post will end up with a pedophile.
Right.
And so I choose to document my kids' lives. That's important to me. I want them to be able to look back and see that what I've shared about them is like a love letter to them, basically.
Yeah, which they will see that for sure.
Yeah, they'll see that every day because that's what I post every day.
Mommy loves you.
And, you know, I'm sure if I did a deeper dive into myself, there is validation from likes. You know, I tend to not say that I'm driven by that. I don't post selfies. You know, I don't do that kind of thing. Because that's not important to me, but I'm sure there is validation in people loving my kids. And it's agreed about my captions. I don't like
write
just like.
Your captions are witty. You're very witty.
Thank you.
I always go to you when I need like a clip like that. Use your creativity for free, as I'm sure you love.
I do love that. There's no price tag on that. But yeah, I do put value on social media being a creative outlet for me, copywriting, which is a weird thing, but it is true. And a couple of my clients have come via people following me on social media and wanting the voice that I use for
their
business.
That's interesting. And that's a good point. That's very valuable to you. That's literally turning into money in your pocket. So
right.
that brings
on
a different
side. On behalf of my kids, so I guess I should figure out how to pay them for that.
No, they're fine. You
thanks.
Feed them every day and you keep them alive, so done.
Thanks, cash cows.
It's about time they... Maybe I should be using Melania for profit because I am really missing a boat here.
But how do you use it personally? I know you don't use Facebook now. One, multiple questions here. Do you miss using Facebook? And how do you consume social media personally?
I do not miss Facebook at all. And that was one of the things that I appreciated all summer. I felt a little bit more carefree. And I don't know if that was because you feel a little bit tied to checking in and you feel tied to just checking and seeing what's going on. And as much as I am an ENFJ, I'm driven by connecting with other people. I also appreciate, like I told you today, I turned off my phone and I was so productive.
That's crazy.
And I appreciate the privacy of that, of just being unplugged. I kind of like not everyone knowing. And of course, that's absurd. Like, no one actually cares about us. You know, we are the only ones who care about ourselves as much as we are thinking other people are caring.
Right. Like, people we are thinking about ourselves know. Way more than
right.
anyone else.
I'm sure no one is like, oh, Hannah deleted her Facebook.
Well, it's like, do you remember when Instant Messenger was really huge and you would put up an away message and like home to see how many messages you had? Like, I cannot tell you how many days it was like I was gone for 9 hours with some like super clever quote from Daria as my away message. And I would get back to be like, I can't wait to see how this is blown up. And it would be like, nothing. there would be no messages waiting.
Dashboard lyrics, of course.
always. Screaming infidelities.
Yes. So I guess I consume it in a manner of escapism, which leads me to what I wanted to talk about as well, which is how we consume as adults, not related to our kids, how we consume it and how we feel it hinders or aids in our productivity. So your career and your life is very different than mine in that it's literally bringing you work. Apple released with their latest update a screen time monitoring. Have you?
Oh, I have not used it, but I have seen people post theirs on Instagram, which is funny.
Yeah, they have. Well, they'll just check in without even. I think it comes activated. If you update your phone, it should activate automatically to where it'll send you updates and let you know you used your phone 800 hours last week. And it is eye-opening how much you are on social media. I would think, oh, I'm not on my phone that much. I just scroll.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I have curated my Instagram to where I follow a lot of activists and a lot of causes that I feel are really important.
Okay.
So I don't even feel that I'm just sitting here looking at everyone's kids. I really appreciate seeing pictures of people's lives who I know, and I like connecting and checking in. But that is also how I see a lot of what's going on. Because I do not like mainstream news outlets. They drive me crazy. They're super biased, all of them. And they're only looking at one big national picture of things. I really like, you know, you get the people stories from the activists that have been doing the work for years. So that's, I feel like, how we get a lot more of a state of what's going on. But I was getting a report that I spend a couple of hours a day. And when I got that report, I was floored because, you know, you just sit there and think a few minutes at a time doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not on my phone, but it really adds up. So I went ahead and turned it on and blocked social media. I give myself 30 minutes a day. So
have you noticed, can you tell the difference in your usage between that couple of hours and now when you've given yourself an allowance?
Yes, I can. Can definitely say that I'm much more productive because I will sit there, and this is the thing, and I think there's another discussion to be had about influencers.
Ooh, yes.
Because it's such an interesting career path, but people are making good money off of it, and I am all about people, and especially women, being on their grind, you know?
Yeah.
And I like that people have created something for themselves, taken a resource like Instagram, and figured out how to make money off of it themselves. I think that's awesome. But I did realize I was sitting here, I would spend an hour in the evenings on stories.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be like other people's stories and then Instagrammers who get blog mail and open it up.
Oh, and those are my least favorite, the unboxing stories.
Yeah, but I will still watch it.
Oh,
like,
I'll
it's
watch
like
them
I,
too.
You know, at the end of the day, you're kind of burnt out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 10 o'clock. Like, I had things I could have done in this time. And instead, I've been watching other people live their lives.
In 15-second snippets.
Right. And it's not that there's not value to what everyone else is doing. And I think that's the balance I'm trying to find, is everyone is just living their lives and talking about it. And everyone should do that to the most that they're comfortable, to the most that they can make their money. I'm trying to currently find the balance between distilling the news and information that I need to find, mm-hmm. and also still being able to be productive. I have been really productive since I've set this limit, which you can change. You don't once you are finished with your however long time limit you set and you try and hit any social media again, it'll remind you that your screen time is up and then you can ignore that for the rest of the day, as I did on November 6th. My screen time that day was 23 hours.
Apple.
But after that, it'll say, oh, do you want to just be reminded again in 15 minutes? So if someone was like, oh, I sent you a message.
Snooze it.
Right. No, you can. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Basically like a snooze. Yep.
Yeah. You can snooze it. So there's that. But I do feel like, oh, I didn't really know this take on things, mm-hmm. because I am missing out on following some of these people that I feel like are really important voices.
That's interesting. So the way that I choose, I'm kind of not talking about Facebook, but mainly Instagram. I pretty much only follow people that I know, mm-hmm. some celebrities, and then I take some pride in, I very rarely like a celebrity's photo for whatever reason.
You don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need me.
Yeah.
You will not earn me. and some bloggers, influencers.
Okay.
But I'm not seeking out any information. I do not use it for that purpose, except if something is going on, I'll check Twitter a lot. Like when we had a school shooting locally,
yes.
I checked Twitter a whole lot.
That's interesting because I checked Instagram.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, I went to the Explore page to see what people are uploading and I should have checked Twitter.
That's interesting. I'd never think about that functionality of Instagram.
Yeah, that's a funny thing that we looked at it in that different way. That was a tragic situation.
That was, yeah. We are not trying to turn that into a talking point, but it brings that up. And anytime there's a big current event, I go to Twitter.
Okay.
Also an award show, I will also go to Twitter, which is pretty much
an
the
award
only
show
time
for
I use
Twitter.
It. Yeah, so the Oscars are my favorite night to be on Twitter, but I really don't like any other time to be on Twitter.
Really? I've never thought to go on Twitter for that kind of thing.
It is very funny, and the pictures are good because
I do love hilarious tweets. Those keep me alive. Like,
yes.
BuzzFeed, to be fair, makes money off of other people. You know, they every week they compile the funniest tweets by women, and I die. The ones today were amazing. They're always amazing. But
well, if you don't follow, that's kind of what I use Instagram for, I think, is entertainment. Now, I'm also a voyeur, so I like to see what other moms are doing in their day-to-day life. I like working moms. I really love day in the life posts when somebody's like, every hour, this is what I'm doing.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very into that for some reason. Like when I think about it, it's no more captivating than watching somebody unbox a free package of expensive things, but I really like it. But I do love the account Comments by Celebrities.
Yeah. Basically, oh my gosh. Okay. I love that one too.
One?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know there's also a Bravo based one?
No.
It's
hilarious.
Comments by Bravo Celebrities. And so, I mean, but when I think about it, I'm like, all this account does is find places that celebrities have commented on pictures.
Right.
But whatever. I am here for it. And
yeah,
I follow
again,
it all the
get
time.
Get your paper. Do what you need to do.
I won't give it likes. I refuse to give likes.
You also don't earn me. Well, that brings up the question. So you like to follow other moms as well.
Yes.
I think I don't follow. I follow like 2 to 3 influencers. What do you feel about people's argument that there's this level of unachievable imperfection on social media?
I am so glad you asked because it was also on my list to ask you. I am very irate that professional photography, heavily curated imagery, has taken the place of what social media should be, which
candid.
Where Facebook has been overrun by political views without actually wanting a dialogue.
Yes, agreed.
I hate that. So that is my irritation.
It's really just a sounding board. It's kind of like a blog space.
Yeah, it is. With very poor grammar.
Yeah, exactly.
Where Instagram now and influencers, though they do influence because several products that I'm loving right now come from Instagrammers.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get
stuff
from them.
And it makes me mad. I don't even like that then I order based on them because I want to not be persuaded, mm-hmm. especially because I'm in the business of that. So I know what it's about.
Yeah.
But I really don't like these curated feeds where it's all professional photography. Because I think it just loses the freshness of what it could be. I'm a voyeur in that I really want to see what the day-to-day looks like. And I try to capture that on my feed. I want someone to go there and feel like, you know, there's the behind the scenes versus highlight reel. And yes. I want mine to be the same thing. And so I want somebody, when they go to a social media page, to know me and not feel like what I'm presenting is different than if they ran into me at Aldi breastfeeding one kid while the other ones are hanging off my cart. Like, I just want that to kind of be who I am.
I would definitely say that your accounts come off exactly that way.
So I don't like these, like, real life mamas. Look at what this is what we look like. And it's like a styled shoot of a mess. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's like, and your hair's perfect and makeup and all that.
Yeah, it doesn't make me
that.
Compare, I don't think. But I'm sure on some subconscious level, it makes me feel bad.
So you don't see that and think, what am I doing wrong or something like that? Or you don't see that as like a problem for you personally?
Not for that. But I also think that I have an interesting take on it because I'm in that business. So I know what it took for them to do that. So I see through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure just as a human being, it does affect me more than I want to give credence to.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when looking at some posts recently, and I can't even remember what it was. Something, and I can't remember I've thought this about two different things, both relating to looks and relating to products. I think I was looking at something, and it was maybe someone was giving a tutorial or something, or it made me feel, back to the Victoria's Secret discussion, it made me feel a little bit like, oh, I need to make a change in some way. And I don't even remember what the post was, if it was about fitness or hair color or anything like that. I don't remember. But I don't remember how this thought popped into my head, but I started thinking, if I hadn't seen this post, would I still find myself as beautiful?
Oh, or, that's a really good question.
Like, would I still think that there was a problem with my hair if I hadn't seen this post? Something like that. And so that I've kind of been keeping that, or like, do I still need this product if I had it? Like, did I think about this before, or am I swiping Instagram and saying, oh, well, they're using this one for their kids. I need that.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you bring up, because I don't like to shop for clothes for myself. I'm very frugal about money. But I have found, and I don't know if this is because of social media or just because of my life stage, but, you know, I'm third time postpartum. 4 months postpartum, my body doesn't feel like it did. I don't hate it, but I also just don't feel good in my clothes. I feel like all the clothes that I have are either from when I was been pregnant for 4 years or have been early postpartum with other kids. And I just don't feel stylish or put together. And that makes me start to feel bad about myself. But then I do see influencers and bloggers looking great. And even other moms that are working moms and they're going to work looking great. And I'm like, I don't, you know, my love of fashion sweatshirts, like that feels stylish to me.
It is stylish.
It is. It's a fashion statement. But I realize, like, ugh, would I feel better? Would it inspire me to eat better? Would it inspire me to clean my house more if I just looked more put together?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think it's very interesting because I do think it's important to feel completely honestly comfortable in our own bodies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I definitely, like, I struggle with, well, I'm more comfortable today. And then I'm like, am I comfortable like this? I've been lately trying to find my comfort zone, which is why I kind of like athleisure. Because I like putting on like a little bit of makeup and my oversized sweatshirt and leggings.
You know, and it's interesting, like, I think I pay attention to this with preschool as well, because that's when I interact with other moms at drop off and things like that. And I feel like, I ran into a preschool teacher today out in public, and the preschool director told me the other day, you have it so together. And I was like,
yes, I do. Listen to my podcast.
You can download it now. But it just turns out that the days that we have preschool are the days that I work out of the house and office. And so I do make more of an effort.
Right.
But then it's like, no, but I want you to see me on social media in that. Like, on one hand, I feel great that you think I have it all together. But on the other hand, I don't want this veneer of, oh, look, she has it all together, because I pride myself on being able to present like I don't have it all together. So here it is.
So you would feel like if you put up something like you would feel legitimately dishonest if someone considered you to have it all together because of the way you were putting yourself out there.
Yes. Like, but it's a complex thing, right? Like, I do want people to think I have it all together. Right.
And to me, you do have it all together is the thing.
Thank you.
Like, that's so perspective based because like that person probably thinks, oh, she has three little kids. She's a working mom and she can still manage to have a career that's totally balanced on being able to hang out with her kids. Like, to me, that's having it all together.
Yeah, that's a good perspective that I appreciate you saying. But I also don't like, you know, I follow this account that I think works really hard at presenting themselves as a mess.
Like, interesting.
That's the relatable win is, oh, look, here I am showing up for my appointment on the wrong day again. Huh. Or, of course, I'm running late again. You know, where it's like, okay, to a point, that's refreshing. But also, I just don't want to curate a shtick.
Yes. Okay, I see what you're saying. And yeah, there's back and forth as well, because sometimes people post like, this is real life, and they'll show their no makeup, I was up all night photo. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you know, it's interesting. It's because a lot of people too, you know, I follow like one makeup artist and hair stylist, or she began that way. Now she has more of a lifestyle blog. And so looking put together is her business because she has to sell her look. So, but she also has three small kids. So it's interesting. Presumably help as well, I would hope, for her sake.
Gosh, I would hope so too. And I think, you know, that's part of why we started this podcast in the first place, right? Or at least for me, I was motivated by the fact that I do think that there's a void in this conversation in social media, that either things are overly curated. And so what's presented to women is carefully defined as a message for women, which has different handles than a message for men.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that, or there is no conversation. And I think our goal here, because I guess podcasts are in some way a social media exchange.
True.
It's a dialogue. We also market ourselves on social media.
And we want you to talk to us.
we want you to talk to us. But, you know, we are packaging something, but what we're packaging, we want to be authentic. So it is kind of a back and forth.
Well, yeah. This has been, it's interesting to just kind of talk about and flesh out the different ideas on what we think. And we're certainly not here saying there's one right way to put yourself out there as a woman.
Nope.
We just like to figure out how we feel about what we see.
Mm-hmm. Nope, absolutely. I think that's a great point.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about what sounded like a good idea at the time this week.
Yep. Here's what sounded like a good idea all the time. Dad jokes.
Yes. My dad is extremely involved in my life, as I am in his life. We talk on the phone a minimum of once a day.
Which I love.
Yeah, and so does everyone else in my family who he holds to the same standards. But he read through our podcast description and got to the part about being about womanhood and motherhood, and I insisted that he still has to listen.
Because he is our target market.
Yeah, so he had some caveats. And he said I had to drop a few bits that he thought would be a good idea. So for that discussion, this is from one Ed.
Yes, Ed. Ed, thank you. I hope he left us a 5-star review.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, he better have. This is coming with a 5-star review. Caroline, why did the Scarecrow get an award?
Oh, why?
You say, I don't know why, Hannah.
Oh, I don't know why, Hannah. I didn't get your dad's script. Ed didn't send it to me.
He really envisioned it a certain way.
Okay.
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Oh, wow. That's... Man, please insert the sound effect of...
Crickets.
Well, it's pretty good because David listened to our podcast and has been a really big fan of ours. And he called me the other day and said, hang on, I don't want to ruin the punchline because this joke is great. Did you know that dogs can't be doctors, but cats can?
Oh, Dad's coming in clutch with the jokes.
We love it. So we'll stick to our own writing for now.
Yeah,
but
thanks for the effort. I'm sure I'll get some feedback from my dad. He had better listen this far, is all I know. This will be a test. No one tell him that you heard this.
No one tell him. And we are still waiting on that review, Ed. I think the dad jokes are always a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it today. We will be back next week.
Yeah. And if you haven't already, we would love for you to find us on Instagram at A Good Idea Pod. But have a good week. And we'll see you next time with hopefully a... Nope.
Yep,
why can't I talk like a normal person?
And bye.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get something out of that.
Yep, great.